Would you like to accelerate your career and reach your full potential in just minutes a day? Welcome to the LeadX Show with New York Times bestselling author and Inc. 500 entrepreneur, Kevin Cruz.
Hey guys, Kevin Cruz here. Welcome to the LeadX Leadership Show, where we help you to stand out and to get ahead at work. Now, as you know, we like to switch things up here, keep it interesting, and to continue that tradition, today on the podcast, instead of me interviewing an expert guest, we're going to have the guest deep dive into their topic. You see, you'll be hearing audio from a LeadX webinar. Now, of course, there are dozens of great webinars on leadership, management, communication, productivity, and more, all archived in the LeadX app. Just visit leadx.org for more information about our webinar archive. So enough on the setup, enough background information. Here is Vanya Mathis to introduce our guest and to hand it over to them. Enjoy.
Are you faced with a new challenge of working remotely and suddenly finding new distractions like your kids, your pets, or your spouse? Don't worry. We've brought in a personal impact expert to help you learn how to navigate these changes. Our guest host has been a judge on the BBC Apprentice, is a BBC TV presenter, and CEO of Scene Change Creative Consultants. She coaches her clients on resilience, communication, confidence, and managing change. Today, she's going to share easy tips on how to survive and thrive in this new remote culture. You'll learn how to tailor your new home environment to make it work-friendly, eliminate distractions, make a positive impact during virtual meetings, and manage your time and stress more effectively. Please welcome Mary McAfee.
Hello, I'm Mary McAfee, and welcome to this webinar on remote working, thriving, and surviving. Obviously, we are working in a very different environment now as opposed to maybe a few weeks ago. And this is really to help all of you people out here that have suddenly been thrown into this situation where you're having to do all your work at home. I also understand that there are a lot of parents out there that are caring for their children or people that are even caring for their own parents. I can do some more work on that in another webinar, but right now this is for people that are working at home. And yes, I will talk about the children as well, because I have children myself. I have a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old and a husband, and we're all in the same home and we're all trying to structure ourselves around each other. So I will cover that topic, but I'm also aware that there are people that don't have children that just want to know how to manage their work. So what we're going to cover today is managing the challenges of working remotely, individually, and as part of a virtual team. How do we do that? How do we show up? Tips on how to overcome the challenges and to implement some quick wins to help you to stay focused. Being at home, working at home, in the environment where you live, it's very difficult to stay focused. I have been doing it for several years. I am a coach. I'm a personal impact expert. Most of my work is where I'm delivering to global communities and to workplaces and to governments. And I'm in situ, so I'm working in a face-to-face workshop environment. But also a lot of my time is I'm spending at home designing the workshops that I do, or designing things for my clients or proposals. So I'm used to doing both. A lot of my time over the last 10 to 15 years, I have spent working at home, and I've got some really good strategies to help you stay focused while you're doing that. We're going to explore ways that virtual teams can become high-performing teams. And this isn't necessarily just the teams that you're working with in your workplace, but also the teams that are actually you're now having to work with within your home. So you can even think of your family as a team, or your flatmates, the people that you share your home with. So I'll help with a few quick strategies on that. How we make a positive impact when we're showing up virtually. I know a lot of people say, I don't even want to be in front of a camera, let alone be in front of a camera in front of my clients and my colleagues. So I'll help you with some strategies for that. And just managing your motivation, your stress, and your resilience. It's packed full of content, so I am going to go through this very quickly. So first of all, routine. Unless you are a hardcore home worker or you've run your own business for several years from the kitchen table, it can be very hard to get motivated and to feel that you're actually at work. what might start off as an exciting prospect, rolling out of bed at 10 to 9 in the morning and logging on in your pajamas, isn't sustainable over time. It can lead to lethargy, it can lead to lack of drive, inability to focus, and a loss of confidence. So if your regular working pattern or routine consists of getting up at a certain time, exercising, managing children out of the door, off to their schools, try and keep to that routine. Our bodies and our minds are hardwired to function at their best when we follow patterns. So wake up at the same time every day. It will help your body to establish a rhythm so it's easier for you to get up in the morning. If you can, do not hit the snooze button. We all do it, but neurologists say that when we do this, what we do every time that we hit the snooze button is we enter a new sleep cycle, which is light and fragmented and can actually leave you feeling more tired. There's more lethargy and it's harder for you to get up and stay focused. If you can, stretch while you are still in bed. The expansiveness of stretching, even while you're lying down, improves blood flow and can actually help you to get a bolt of energy into your bloodstream. Try some visualization. While you're still in bed, before you get out, visualizing a successful and productive day, a happy day, fires up the visual cortex in your brain and helps you to create pathways to achieving what you've already imagined. So we know that athletes use visualization all the time. This helps them to achieve their goals. They see themselves optimizing their bodies and their minds and crossing that finish line to win. So think about having that successful day before you even get up in the morning. It helps. Breathing. So if you can breathe rhythmically while you're still in bed, just counting in for one and out for one, in for two and out for two, just that rhythmic pace breathing really helps to oxygenate ourselves in the morning. Take those deep rhythmic breaths. What that does actually is helps you to feel more awake. It's almost like having a semi-coffee in your system before you get out of bed in the morning. What it's doing is firing up that prefrontal cortex, which is your rational part of your brain that helps you to stay focused and get your tasks done. So breathing is very important. Always shower and get dressed. There is so much scientific evidence out there that proves that what we wear really influences how we perform. So, for example, here we have the power of the costume. You can see here that this is what you might describe as a doctor's coat. Well, Adam Galinsky, who's a psychologist at Columbia University Business School, was looking at researching into the power of costume. And he did a scientific study where he took a group of students, didn't tell them what this study was, but he said, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to put on this coat. They all did this, and then he separated the students into two separate rooms. In one room, he said, okay, guys, put on this white coat. You guys are now all doctors. I would like you to think of yourself as a doctor. Then I'm going to give you some tests, a series of tests to measure your attention and your focus. So, and in the next room, the other students that he had, he said, okay, now this white coat is actually a painter and decorator's coat. So what it's doing is it's going to stop the paint getting on your clothes. So just think of yourself as this painter and decorator, and then I'm going to give you a series of tests to measure your attention and focus. So they were both groups were doing this at exactly the same time. One group thinking of themselves as doctors, one group thinking of themselves as painter and decorators. Well, what happened? After they looked at the results of the tests, those that were wearing the doctor's coat had made 50% fewer errors than those that thought they were wearing the painter and decorator's coat. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with being a painter and decorator. I'm a creative person myself. I have been an actor for years and I'm also very much into art. But what he wanted to find out was why this had happened. So he interviewed the students again, and what happened was that those that said they were wearing the doctor's coat had said that they really had to remain focused. Because they felt like doctors, they knew that they had a very small margin of error and they really wanted to get it right. So they were very concentrated. And those that were wearing the painter decorators coat said, well, I felt a little bit creative. I wasn't that bothered about getting it right. So I probably didn't focus on the task. So what you wear is super important. When I get up, when I am working at home, I always put on business attire. I make sure that, you know, I'm a makeup wearer, so I put on my makeup even if I am not meeting anyone that day, because I know it makes a massive difference to how productive I can be. And actually, here's another top tip. We don't wear shoes in our house, but when I'm making a business call or if I'm doing a webinar, I will put my shoes on because it actually makes me feel that I'm at work. I wouldn't be sitting there with fluffy slippers on if I was in front of people in the office. So really think about trying to help yourself by building that costume around yourself. Okay, environment. We are all living in different types of homes. Some of us are in very small apartments, some in big houses. Your environment is so important. So always try and choose a dedicated workspace, even if that is a corner of your living room or a corner of your bedroom if you're in a studio, but make that the place where you go to work so that at the end of the day, you can then shut down yourself from that place of work and go and do something else. It really helps to know that this is the place where you're working every day, so that when you turn up, you show up, that is your working day. Keep your space calm and uncluttered. And I hear a lot of people say, oh, but clutter makes me very creative and it's great for me. Well, it is good for some people, but for most people, it creates distraction. So try and keep everything in the right places. Make sure that it's a calm space for you. Close all the other doors in your house if you can. So I live in a house, I have stairs and I have children. And at the moment they're being homeschooled downstairs with my husband in a room down there. So when I come up here to do some work into our spare bedroom, I will close all the doors as I go, because what I don't want is to be distracted by someone else's mess, toys all over the place or towels hanging from the bathroom. Always close your bathroom door. You would not sit outside an open bathroom door when you're at work, so you don't need to do that in your house. Also, sit on a proper chair if you can, a chair that has a back. Back pain and stiffness is the number one reason people are absent from work around the world. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it at home. I'll do some little posture tips for you a little bit later in this webinar, but start by trying to sit on a proper chair. If you can, invest in a wireless keyboard and a monitor, or at least with your laptop, make sure that your laptop monitor is high enough so that you're avoiding this crouching over way of sitting to avoid that back pain. Try and be kind to yourself. Do the right thing for your body, and it will also help with your mental health as well. So, mitigating that neck pain by having that raised monitor. Okay, how do we manage our time when we are working at home? Very often people think, oh, you work at home, you've got loads of time, but actually we can get very easily distracted. So set your agenda the night before. Think about what are the most important things that I have to get through. If you can't do it the night before, do it first thing in the morning. Write your to-do list by hand. Now, the reason I say this is because handwriting is a complex task and it requires a lot of skills within your brain, various skills. And there's lots of evidence to support that actually bringing things from your mind, ideas into your mind and into the physical world through handwriting is a very different mechanism from typing it on a computer. And what that does by physically writing it as well gives us the option to tick it off as we go. And by ticking things off, it actually gives our dopamine a boost. And dopamine is a natural hormone chemical in our bodies that is there for motivation and the desire to achieve outcomes. So anything like that, writing these things down, taking it off as you go, gives your dopamine a kick, which means you want to do more. Structure your work in the way that you would when you're still in the office. So if you do calls in the morning, if you keep to that pattern, if you design stuff in the afternoon, keep to that pattern. Our neural pathways for work are already set up to follow patterns. So try and make it easier for yourself and stick to that. Do the hard things that you have to do, the difficult things in the first 2 hours of the morning. Our brains are at their peak in the first 2 hours after you've got out of bed. So decision-making skills, concentration can be optimized at that time. Also, make sure you give yourself proper breaks. 20 minutes maybe to stretch, to walk, to breathe, get away from your computer, get away from that work area, walk around. Make yourself a coffee or a tea, get some water, whatever that is. It releases the chemical acetylcholine into our bodies, which is for renewal and recovery. It's a hormone that helps us to just calm down so that once we're renewed and recovered, we can go back into our tasks. Make sure you clock in and clock out every day. Decide what time you're going to start and what time you're going to finish, what time your breaks are going to be, and when you're going to take your lunch, and stick to that. Your body likes that structure. Turn off all of your distractions. If you have a deadline, close down your email for a short period of time. You can even put on an out of office and just say, I'm putting the out of office on now because I'm working on something and I will be back in at whatever time. Obviously, people right now know that you're not going out, but it's just creating that structure so that you're not distracted by everything else to get that work done and to feel good about what you're doing. So staying focused can be very challenging. I may be teaching people stuff that you already know, but seriously, turn off the TV. And unless you have an online business or you work in communications, don't open social media. If possible, turn off all the incoming messages that are coming through on your phone. So all the WhatsApp groups, and I'm certainly in more WhatsApp groups than I ever have been before. I'm in school parent WhatsApp groups. I'm in working colleagues WhatsApp groups, but they're pinging all the time and my eyes are distracted and then I can't get focused on my work. So turn them off. It's not essential for you to be looking at that. There are lots of time management models out there, but try this one. It's called the 50-20-50 productivity model. And it's basically that your day is broken down into three blocks at a time. You work for 50 minutes, you take a 20-minute break, and then you work for another 50 minutes. We are also doing this with our children, with the homeschooling that we're having to do, to make sure that they understand that this is the time that we're working, and here you get this amazing 20-minute break. And when you're having those 20-minute breaks, it means leaving your desk, walking around, getting that coffee, spending some time outside if you are able to, if you have a garden or standing on your balcony. And just want to say it takes roughly 25 minutes to get back on task when you have been interrupted. Now, this is not about taking the break. This is an interruption. So that 60 seconds that you might want to check your Instagram account goes from 60 seconds to actually 26 minutes. And of course, we all get distracted, particularly when we're working with others in our home or we have children. But cut yourself some slack, give yourself a break. When you're feeling, oh, I can't get focused here, I don't know what's happened, just allow yourself to get through that 25 minutes and just see what happens, see how you get through that flow. Okay, so this is called the Eisenhower Matrix, and it's about prioritizing work. Again, there are lots of other models out there, but this is one that I use myself. So up in the top left box there, what we've got is the important and the urgent stuff. It's about breaking up all the stuff that you have today to do in these four quadrants. So top left, important and urgent, the things I need to do today. For example, it could be a project deadline, a progress report on a team meeting, or maybe it's an online, you're preparing for an online presentation tomorrow. You do that first. Then top right in the blue box, we've got the important but maybe not so urgent stuff. So schedule some time to do that. Maybe it's about planning some meetings. Maybe it's the strategy of forecasting, or maybe it's some creative ideas. Next is the bottom left in the yellow box or the mustardy kind of box. This is the not important, but it's still urgent stuff. So is there someone that you can delegate that to? Maybe it's answering some of your emails. Maybe it's responding to some comments or delegating to people for future projects. And then you've got the bottom right in the red box, which is the stuff that you do not have to do. It's not important. It's not urgent. This is your playing your online games, your checking of your social media, unless that's your job. I find that this helps me to really structure what I need to do. Otherwise, I will also get distracted by doing the things that I want to do rather than the things that I should be doing. Okay, working from home can get very lonely. A study done last year was showing that, you'll see in the top bar there, 22% of people said the biggest struggle that they have working remotely is actually switching off, unplugging and stopping working. But the second thing, 19%, is loneliness. So communicating with colleagues and with other people, the outside world, is crucial in these times. In fact, it's more crucial than any other time. which is why all the remote services such as Zoom and so on are really in high demand at the moment. Okay, you may be a manager, or even if you are not a manager, it could be that you could suggest to do a 10-minute call to kick off the day every day and wrap up the day with a 10-minute call with your team. Often, if you suggest this, your manager possibly hasn't even thought about it, and it's a way of connecting back in with other people. Now is the time to connect with your manager even more and your colleagues even more. And the advantage here is that they're all at home too, and they are all going through this process the same as you. Some of them will have children too. Some of them will be feeling lonely or struggling to stay focused. But the thing is, nobody's traveling. Nobody is saying, I'm not available, I'm on an airline. So it's actually easier to get into contact with people now. So use it. As much as possible, communication should be face-to-face and instant. So if you can, all of the WebEx stuff, all of the Zoom meetings, all the things that you can do where everybody is live, and really encourage people to show up in vision, because it's the human faces that we need. It's that human contact, not just the voices. Even these people that are used to working at home, it can be very isolating. I have a family with me, but I'm isolated from my friends and my other colleagues. So what I'm going to show you in a moment is some fun shots of me potentially hosting a meeting or being part of a meeting with colleagues. I actually have this on video. I'm very happy to share that too. It's just a little fun little sketch of me doing some meetings, maybe not so effectively, and then moving on to the most effective stuff that many of you may have thought about, but maybe some of you haven't, because I have seen it when I have literally been in people's homes through a camera. So here I am, I'm waiting for my meeting to start. What I haven't done is check my background. And I have obviously dressed this to show you what I have actually seen. So there I have my washing in the background, you know, some cushions racked up. I also have the all-important stash of toilet paper in the background, and I'm drinking out of one of my children's mugs, and I haven't brushed my hair. So I really haven't thought about how I physically show up online. And actually, this is helping. This is where you can credentialize yourself. This is still part of your brand, even although you're showing up virtually. It's about your connectivity. It's about your ability to make those connections, even although you're not physically there. So really think about that background. So here we are. This is a bit of fun as well. When you're at the end of the meeting, really think about, have I actually turned this off? Have I turned the camera off? Have I turned the sound off? Because this is me standing up after that meeting. My camera is still on. I've been wearing my nice dress to show up at that work meeting with my nice jewelry. And actually, there I go. I'm having a little bit of a scratch, and I'm wearing my pajama trousers. So just please be aware. And also, when you are showing up, think about the light on your face as well. A lot of the time what I see is people sitting in front of windows, and when the window is behind you, then your face is in darkness. So sometimes I use a little light. So I have one here. Sometimes I use that to try and help and illuminate my face so people can actually see me when I'm communicating, or I'll sit in front of a window. So here I am being a little bit more effective. And I've cleared up all the stuff at the back, and I am, you know, I've pulled my hair back. But what I'm doing there is I'm not making any eye contact with you. I'm actually looking either at myself, which is what most of us do, or I'm looking at you because I think I'm communicating with your picture. But actually, my eye line is taken to another place on the screen. So you need to start thinking of yourself almost like a TV presenter or a newsreader, and look right down the lens of that webcam when you are speaking, when you are communicating that message, because the other people are getting that eye contact. Of course, you also want to see their faces and you want to interact with them. So when they are speaking, that is when you can then look at their faces and see how that how they're communicating facially. Very important. But do remember, this is the way that we should be looking. So there I am. I'm talking to my virtual team. I'm smiling and I'm looking down that camera to try and get some engagement. So it's not just always about work when we are showing up online in our teams. It's also about thinking about those virtual water cooler moments, the times when we actually just chat to people in the kitchen when we're making coffee, when we're at work. Those informal interactions strengthen the social bonds, and it's very important. So what can we do? We could begin each meeting with a personal roundup of what's been going well, what are your challenges, asking open questions and really listening to the answers. Perhaps you can hold virtual coffee breaks, or maybe, you know, it's Friday night drinks. Whatever you do normally, perhaps you can do this online. Just get together for maybe half an hour on Friday afternoon and do what you usually do and have that social time. Maybe you could do some virtual team building exercises, maybe some quizzes, you know, the one thing that people don't know about me, or something like, you know, something ridiculous that I have in my house, you know, guess what it is. Anything at all to give people some humour and to feel that they're still part of humanity rather than being stuck in their own homes just spinning out of control. It's everyone's responsibility to look after each other in this way. Even if you're the most junior person in your team, you can come up with those ideas. Those are the things that are actually going to help to bind us and help us to move forward and to come out of this with our resilience and our happiness. Okay, so I just want to briefly talk about team performance and what happens to us when we're forming new teams. And this isn't, of course, we potentially have been in a team when we have been physically in the workplace, but this has all changed now. So now actually we're creating a new team because we're doing it virtually and online. And this can also be used for your family, for your children, for the people that you're working with in the home. So what very often happens is when we're forming at the beginning, nobody really knows who they are and what they're doing, not quite sure what the structure is. Then we dip a little bit and we get into the storming part where people are jostling for position, they're not feeling very supported. And then it goes into the norming part where you now have a potential team. People kind of know what is expected of them. And we move into the performing where everybody is doing their jobs at the right time and knows and is well connected with each other. And then we go into adjourning and mourning at the end. So navigating each stage, even if this is thinking about your own family, forming. So establishing clear objectives for the team members. We need to have that communication together and ask questions of people, you know, what is going to work for you? So people need to feel listened, they need to feel safe, and they need to feel that they are adding value. Storming part, that's when we really dip into that part of the curve. What we need to do is to establish processes and structures. We need to be able to build trust. So that actually means getting in front of each other even more, building the good relationships, resolving conflicts quickly and moving on and providing the support to other people that are maybe feeling less secure. The norming part of this, well, what we can do then is to help team members to take responsibility for setting their own goals and moving towards those. So maybe you might want to bring in some coaching or maybe some team coaching at that time or mentoring or coaching buddies. And you can also do that in your home. Performing, that's when we're starting to focus on the goals and the other areas of work that we may want to add into those goals. And the adjourning is also about taking time to celebrate success, not just moving on to the next project. It's actually telling other people that I thought you did brilliantly there. I'm taking a note of this and everybody else should know about it, because we also need that boost. We need that testosterone boost to feel that we are powerful and that we're somehow in control of our destinies, even if it's for a small space on a project at work. This Power Spot Squad is very much about you. So this is building a team around you, not necessarily just your colleagues, but this can also be friendships as well. So I call these champions and cheerleaders. These are the people that talk about you positively to other people. They're the ones that really compliment you and tell you how brilliant you are. Think about your friendship groups. Think about your colleagues. Who can you put into that kind of section of your power squad? This isn't about putting people in boxes, but it's actually knowing who these people are when you need them most. Your analysts and your researchers are the people who always kind of, they're your sensible people, the people that make the non-emotional balanced solutions to problems. They're very pragmatic. So for me, if I have an emotional problem, if I'm feeling really upset about something, I actually don't go to my emotional group. I will go to the people that are pragmatic that can then say, hang on, let's take a step back, let's pick this apart, look at it rationally from all different angles, and in that way, I get a different perspective on my problem. Then you have your elevators, your distractors, the people that pick you up when you're down, the fun people, the people that create excitement. Maybe those are the people that you have your online parties with at the weekend. Get them together. Do some online games with them. Not necessarily, you know, the ones where you're sitting in front of the screen playing games, but actually play games together. Do those quizzes, sing songs, get them involved, more involved in your life. Then you've got your nurturers and your carers. Those are the people that look after your needs, who notice when you're not feeling yourself, the quieter ones that really are very reflective and they have lots of empathy. Build those people around you and make sure that you're making contact with them, even if it is deliberate contact going, do you know what, right now I need a nurturer or a carer. Do it for yourself. You need to build those teams and be the manager of that team, no matter where you are in the pecking order of society. Physicality and hormones, I'm going to do this very quickly. We need to be doing 10,000 steps a day to be at our optimum. Obviously, that's very hard when we're at home, but if you can get some online exercise programs together, you can do it. Yesterday, I did 14,000 because I did some work with my children in the morning. We have a guy here who's doing PE every morning for half an hour. And then I did my own online work program. And that was without me actually going beyond my garden. Try and do it live. If there's something live, it helps us to feel part of that community rather than always just downloading things. I download myself, but if I can get something live, I know that there's a whole host of other people doing it at the same time, and it helps with my motivation. Doing some stretching, some yoga, anything like that to help to get your body working at its best. Do HIIT interval training. You don't need a lot of room for that. You can do that in one room. And if you can, get outside for 10 minutes a day. We need that for vitamin D. We need it for our well-being and our mental well-being. So here I'm going to talk quickly about posture. So this is me potentially sitting at my desk, hunched over my computer. As you can see, I've got a curve in my spine. My shoulders are bent over. My back is bent over. I'm putting a lot of pressure on my spine and even on my throat. I'm collapsed in over my diaphragm and I'm not getting enough oxygen into my lungs. And actually, here's me on the phone. So I'm not making the optimum use of my voice, which is where my authority is going to come from when I'm on the phone, and also my empathy and my ability to use my voice in different ways. So your posture is so important. Try and think about sitting up straight as though there's a golden thread going all the way up through your spine and suspending you from the ceiling so that you can still move around. You've got great flexibility, but your posture is all in line over your hips. And to help you, you can even place a cushion behind you to avoid that slump. Some simple stretches you can do. This is called a spinal twist. It's a yoga exercise. You can look them up. You can do it in your seat. You can do it sitting down or standing. And it's taking one hand behind your back and the other one over the opposite knee and just turning over your shoulder and then turning over the other shoulder and doing that three times helps to alleviate all that tension that we get in our spine and our shoulders. And this one also helps to alleviate tension in the shoulders. And by sitting forward, what we're doing is bringing about the oxygen and the blood, the oxygenated blood, into that prefrontal cortex, which is the rational decision making, which is going to help us be less emotional if we're feeling anxious. Breathing is one of the free things that we can do that is so helpful to our well-being. We excrete 60% of the toxins in our body through our breath alone. So while we are not going to our fancy spas or our fancy gym clubs, we can breathe. It's excreting that CO2. Focused breathing brings in the acetylcholine, which is that calm recovery and renewal. It also helps to decrease our cortisol. Our cortisol is our stress hormone, and it increases our testosterone, which is our confidence and our feeling that we're in control. So try and find some deep breathing exercises, mindfulness and yoga online. It will absolutely help you and build that into your day. So I hope this has been of use to you. My name is Mary McCaffey. I am a personal impact coach. And what I've got here is my online course. It's called Communicating Confidently. It's split over four different modules. And what I will be doing with that is also doing some coaching, visual coaching online with five people at a time to help us get through this time. So we go through the modules. We have a community of people that I will work with together, so you can actually help to share some of your challenges and also help to share some of the successes that you're having. I'm happy to hear from you. Do get in touch on the YouTube channel and on my email. And I wish you all well. Keep strong, keep resilient, and keep your posture up.
Friends, if you like this episode of the LeadX Leadership Podcast, please take a minute, leave a rating on iTunes or Stitcher. Ratings are invaluable for attracting new listeners. And I like to convert those listeners into leaders because, you know, I'm on a mission to spark 100 million leaders in the next 10 years. And if you want to become the boss everyone fights to work for and nobody wants to leave, check out the LeadX platform with Coach Amanda at leadx.org. And if you have 10 or more managers who could use some binge-worthy training, send me an email at info@leadx.org, leadx.org, and we'll talk about getting you set up with a totally free pilot for those managers. See if they like it. If they don't, that's fine. We go away. Part as friends. But if they love it, you've just found yourself a new resource for them. Remember, leadership is influence. You're always leading. How are you going to lead today?